So I would like to thank the deaconship here, the eldership, and Brother Aaron. Brother Aaron has been a blessing for me. God tells me, you know, you water people a lot. It's about time for you to get watered a little bit. So I want to thank Brother Aaron for just a terrific job that he's been doing. And that's what it's all about. There we go. And put my glasses on. First of all, I left without them. Okay. So tonight's lesson, Bryant read in your hearing 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Did a terrific job. But we just want to read over that again. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. By the way, I've selected the King James Version tonight. So you're going to be hearing some these and some thous and some say it's and say it's nots and all of that. So, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit, the soul, and the body is what we'll be talking about today. Well, mainly the soul. I'm going to tackle the soul today because it's just way too much information to try to teach on, at least preach, concerning the spirit, the soul, and the body. Man, when we look at the book of John, First John, speaks concerning God being Trinity. Man is Trinity also, okay? Spirit, soul, and body. There are those who believe that man is dual in nature. Do we understand what that means to be dual in nature? To just be composed of two units? Soul and spirit are one. Or the soul and the body are one. That's what some people believe. That's a typo right there. It should be body. And there's 1 Thessalonians again. The word holy, holy is the idea of being quantitatively, right, whole or preserved. That means that your whole being quantitatively will be preserved, right? Not only your whole being quantitatively, but also with the quality, right, is what he's talking about. So God wants to make sure that our three units, the spirit, soul, and the body, will be kept blameless. Right? So the thing of it is that, is there anything that a person can say about you with the people that you hang around with? Are you walking blameless in their eyesight? That is, if you're a Christian. There are three parts to the soul. Do we know that? Do we know that there are three parts to the soul? Right? We know that our body has many members. I'm sure all of us know our bodies. Your soul is a part of your being. Do you know that you have three parts in your soul? There are three parts to the spirit. Did you know that? Did you know that there are three parts to the spirit? We need to know these things. That's why the scripture says that man doesn't know himself. It's impossible for man to know himself. But there is one that know him. We'll talk about that at a later time. So we must also define the heart. Because you hear the Bible speaks about the heart. We know that our heart, our physical heart, we know what that's for, right? Do we know what that's for? Yeah, we know what that's for. Pump blood. That's right. So we need to know our parts to our being. Man. Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the word of God is. The Hebrew people could not distinguish the soul from the spirit, right? They couldn't distinguish the soul from the spirit. So what we have here is another reference to let us know that the soul and the spirit are different. They're not the same. In fact, we can't even prove according to the scripture if the soul has substance. We know that the spirit has substance, right? So, God tells us that his word is living and active, that it is powerful. It is able to restore your life. It resurrected Christ from the dead. His word created the universe. And as a matter of fact, when God was doing his creation, it wasn't like he had an audience there anyway, right? So when we hear God say, let there be this and let there be that, wasn't no one there listening. It's just written that way so that we can understand it, right? God don't have to really talk to say nothing. He can use his mind and make things happen, right? So he says that his word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, we know that the Chinese make a pretty good sword, huh? Boy, you get a guy that don't know how to handle that sword, he's going to cut his own self. Right? That's what happens. So the word of God is like that. Now, imagine all those false teachers out there that's handling this sword right here. He said, this thing cuts both ways. It's going to cut back at you if you don't know what you're doing with it. So what the word of God does is it will divide the spirit from the soul. See, we need to understand, do we know if we're living in our spirit or if we're living in our soul? How do you know if you're living in the spirit? How do you know if your life is being conducted according to the spirit? Or how do you know if you're living according to your soul? You're going to know because the Bible is going to tell you. The joints in the marrow. That has to deal with the bones, right? So we see the soul. We see the spirit. We see the joints in the marrow, which is bone, which is part of the body. That's three. Three units there, right? And is a discerner of the thoughts. What are the thoughts? What are the intents of the heart? See, we're gonna be talking about the heart at a later time. I'm going to deal with the spirit and the heart at a later date, if the Lord is willing and if Brother Aaron would allow me to. But in order for us to have a real relationship with God, we need to be able to discern these things. Soul, spirit, joint, marrow, thoughts, intents, heart. We have to be able to discern these things. Why? Because the word of God discerns them. Discerner. Right? Thoughts, intents of the heart. We need to be able to discern those things. I talk to people all the time. I ask them, what's the difference between the soul and the spirit? They can't come up with it. They don't know. Okay, where is the soul at? Where is the spirit at? Don't know. Right? The created man. We talk about this in Bible study this morning. We talked about how God created man. Genesis 2 and 7. Here we go. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the question becomes, what did God do? God apparently made a model. Right? In order for him to blow into the nostrils, it has to be a model there. Correct? Has to be a model there. Because if it's just dust there and he blow on it, it's just going to blow away, right? So he had to have a model to go, whoo, blow into him. Something happened here. Something happened here with man. There's the man. Dust plus the ground, right, equals the body. Dust plus the ground equals the body. Spirit plus the body equals the soul. So what has happened here is something organic has taken place that formed a third part. And that part is your soul. That's why Jesus said, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, people give in exchange for their souls all day long, every day. Right? The pleasures of the world. That's what they give in exchange for the soul, the pleasures of the world. Right? So man became a living soul. God's breath of life is man's source of life. Apart from that, we don't have life. We don't have life. Now, imagine a person that hasn't been baptized or hasn't been reborn. What does that mean? Right? That person's spirit is not in contact with the Creator, the source. Because remember, spirit plus body equals the soul. Right? So if he don't have his spirit, how can he have life? Because once the spirit contacted the dust, the dirt, third party, soul. Dust plus ground equal body. Spirit plus body equal soul. Man, triple being. John 6:63. Jesus says that it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So imagine when Jesus was walking around on earth, right? Here you have a vessel, a container. Jesus was the vessel that contained deity, God Almighty. He contained deity, so it was his flesh that concealed the God that was within him. So anytime Jesus spoke out, guess what? His words was life. His words was life. And that same word we had today right here. See, there are those who waited for the Messiah to come, never seen him. Then there are those who lived and seen him and walked with him and talked with him. Some believed and some didn't, just like we had today. Now he's gone. All the apostles are gone. All we have is his word. So now it's going to be up to us to believe in his word. What do you come to church for? Got to know why you come to church. Because if you fall away, you just fell back into death. I love coming to the assembly. Let me rephrase that, the assembly, because the word church is improper, right? We, each individual, is a stone that makes up the temple. So each one of us is a stone. When I left earlier today, Brother Cujo came up to me. Hey, he got on me. He said, you know, you bought those suits and I only seen you wear it once. You are a king. I said, okay. Revelations 1:6. All right. And then my sister over here said, oh my God, you look like a priest. I said, I am a priest, right? Each individual priest. That's what we are. And guess what? Christ is a high priest. That's why we are able to make individual. We go upstairs individually. We don't need no, you know, intercessor for us like they had under the old covenant. Now, is this the first time that God actually breathed into man? On the day in which he blew into the nostrils and man became a living soul? Is that the only time God did that? How about when Jesus, after his resurrection, told his disciples in John 20:22? He blew on them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Why did he do that? He did that so that they can have that his life within them. He blew into them. And they received it. Now they can live that life. Right? Because apart from the Spirit, we can't live that life. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit in chapter 2 came with power, guess what? It's like putting on a uniform. So now they got the life within them, and now they got the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's like if I'm a police officer. So one day I go out here and I direct traffic. I got my gear on. I'm directing traffic because the lights are broken. So I got my uniform on. Right? And then the next day I decide to come without my uniform. Now when the people see me with my uniform on, they're going to respect me. Right? Because they got to respect authority. Because if they don't respect the authority, we're going to get on you. Right? So if I go out there without my uniform on and try to direct traffic, what y'all gonna think? Man, this nut better get out the way before I run him over. Right? We gonna run that cat over if he don't get out the way. Right? So what we do? We suit it with the Holy Spirit. Right? On the day of Pentecost. Well, it's the same thing with us. We have the triune God living within us. Do y'all believe that? Boy, all day long, man, that's all I do is I'm with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and everybody. All day, every day. I know my people around me think I'm crazy. Is that all he do? I know my wife think I'm crazy. That's all that man do is look at the Bible, read the Bible, talk about God. I said, son, I tell you that at least about once a month. Don't I tell you to get close to God at least about once a month? He started laughing. He said, no, Dad, you tell me that every day. I say, do I? I said, okay. So, yeah, so Jesus' life is in Jesus. Glory be to God that he took away the blinders. Imagine taking pictures and you still got your lens on. But you don't know you got your lens on. So you just snapping away. Then you go to get your, oh man, I never took. You can't get it back now. It's over with. It's gone. You done left. You got your lens, your cap on your camera. You don't got nothing. Right? Well, it's the same way when people sit up in the assembly with God that's not saved. They got, this is what Satan do. Wow. Blind them. They can't see or hear the message. See? Can't hear or see the message. And you walk away dumbfounded. Yeah, that was a good message. Walk away. God, walk away in sin. So what I try to do is snatch people out the fire every day. You got to snatch them out the fire. They can't see it. I guarantee you, if you seen an infirmo about 100 yards away from you, you'd probably burn up if you was that close anyway. We've seen huge fires. Now imagine if someone said, I'm going to throw you right over in there right now, and you can see it, then you'll believe it. But because you can't see it, you're going to keep what my mama used to tell me, boy, you're going to keep playing with fire, and it's going to catch up with you. That's being bad. That's being bad. That's just being bad. As we said before, God's breath of life is man's source of life. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made of a living soul. Understand what we're talking about here. We're dealing with the soul of man, right? The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Okay? Then there are those who say, well, how come the spiritual wasn't first? The physical, right? But we got to understand that Jesus Christ today is omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient. He is everywhere. He knows all and he is all powerful. So the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, for those of us, see, we out to save your soul. That's what we do. We're in the business of saving souls. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. One spirit. That's why in some translations it's hard for them to tell if they're talking about the spirit of the soul or the Holy Spirit. It's hard to tell if they're talking about the Holy Spirit or man's spirit. Right? So each one of us at our baptism, guess what? The Holy Spirit intermingled with our spirit, thereby giving us life in our spirit. Okay? So you got to understand something. When you are still in your sins, your soul is dominating. When God created Adam, right? When Adam lived, his spirit suppressed the soul, which means that everything that he did was according to his spirit. The soul is the meeting place between the body and the spirit. So if you are here today and you have not been baptized into the body of Christ for the remission of sin, your soul is ruling your life right now, not your spirit. It's not your spirit. We got to understand that. The soul is the meeting place. So when I say, when I get that voice in my head that tells me to go and do something wrong, my spirit that's in me, suppresses that, pushes that down. Now I'm in the spirit. Now I'm walking in my spirit. I'm not walking in my soul. You know what you do when you're in your soul? That means that your spirit is cut off. You're just walking around like a tree. Have you ever seen a tree with no life? Just a tree just sitting there. And you wondering, how that tree standing? My son, no, we had to talk about that. All you got to do is go kick it. And it'll fall. That's the same way with people walking around without the spirit. Yet the spirit is in them, is just inactive. So when Adam died, his spirit didn't disappear and go somewhere. The spirit's still there. It was just the lifeline was severely cut. It was cut. So he didn't have a relationship with God anymore. He cut that lifeline off, that spirit, that pipe, that flow was cut. Now we get into it, the inward and the hidden parts. What does that mean? What are the inward and hidden parts? You have inward parts and you have hidden parts, right? So what is the difference between the hidden parts and the inward parts? We all know about the members, the outside members, the parts of our body. We all know about that. But do we know about our inward parts? What are their functions? Why are they there? Why did God create them, right? Jeremiah 31:33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their inward parts. It doesn't say part. It says parts. Do you know that you have inward parts? And write it in their hearts. We're going to talk about the heart at another time. We're going to deal with the inward parts, the soul, which is a part of the soul. The heart is a part of the soul. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. So we need to know about the inward parts and the heart. We know about the heart that pumps blood throughout our body. But do we know about the heart that he is talking about right here? Because we see a lot of guys do this. That's not what that is. Don't beat on your chest because that's not the heart that we're talking about. Right? Slight variation, change in the usage of the word. But what it is that it lets us know that what he is about to say is a part of the soul. Right? We have the same wording, but a slight change with mind. Because that's what we're dealing with. The soul, the mind, the heart, right? So he says, for this is the covenant that I will make with them in those days, and in the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be there to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So he changes it from the inward parts to the mind. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So truth should reside where? In your inward parts. Where's your inward part at? In your soul. That's your inward part. What is your hidden part? Your hidden part is your spirit. See, the body contains the soul and the soul contains the spirit. That's where it's at. So it's the hidden part of you. Is that hidden part of you alive today? We need to find out what are these inward parts and what is the hidden parts. We just found out, didn't we? The body. For those that study the body, anatomy, very intricate thing. Right? The soul. Right? That's what we've been talking about. And the spirit. That is the hidden person in you. The spirit the soul and the body. Man is triune, plain and simple. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 46 and 47, we see Mary magnifying the Lord in her soul and exalting the Lord in her spirit. But before she can magnify the Lord in her soul, she has to exalt in the spirit. Right? She has to exalt the Lord in her spirit before she can magnify him. Right? So the spirit has to take the initiative. God is spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Philippians 1 and 27 speaks about the people being of one mind and one soul. Right? So that's what we need to be. We need to be of one mind and one soul. What does that mean? That means that the mind has to do with the soul. Also in Mark chapter 30, chapter 12 and verse 30, speaks four things that Mark speaks concerning when the question is asked. Let's look at that. Some of us probably know that scripture by heart. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Four things are mentioned here. Mind, soul, we have heart, we have soul, we have mind, and we have strength. Those are four things there that we need to be conscious of, right? Mind, will, and emotion. That's what consists of in the soul. Those are your inward parts that has to do with your soul. 1 Thessalonians, we understand that it spoke about the soul, the spirit, and the body. Guess what? It was one other thing that was never mentioned. The heart. Heart not mentioned there. The heart is not mentioned there. Does that mean that the heart is not part of the soul? What is the heart? We'll find that out later. The soul, the mind, is a part of the soul. Proverbs 2 and 10 says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto the soul, right? Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. We're talking about the soul, right? Psalms 139:14, I will praise thee, for I am wonderfully made, fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are the works. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth well. My soul knoweth well concerning the works of God. Watch this now. How long shall I take counsel, some may say consider, in my soul? Right? So all of this is taking place where at? In my soul. We ain't even talking about the spirit or the heart. We just talking about the soul. Right? Having sorrow in my heart daily, not the heart that's beating on your chest. We'll talk about that another time. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Lamentations. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Guess what? The soul remembers. How does the soul remember? How can you explain that? The soul knows. The soul considers or counsels. The soul remembers. How does all this happen? In the soul. the mind is part of the soul. Chronicles. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. How do you set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord? We know that we can set our mind to seek, right? But it uses soul, right? This is the will. See? That's the will. Because you're making a decision. The soul. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. It's a choice to love. That's a choice that he made, right? So that my soul choose it, strangling in death rather than my life. So the soul chooses. So know that your soul chooses, right? The things that my soul refused. So the soul refuses. Right? This all has to do with the will. See how that works? All has to do with the will. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Soul loveth, right? As my heart panted. We just got through singing that song. All reference to love, right? After the water brooks. Hatred. Where does that come from? Where does hatred come from? Look. And David said, on that day, whosoever get it up to the gutter and smite it, the Jebusite, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul. So you can hate in your soul. What part of you is that, that hate? Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they drew near unto the gates of death. All has to do with your soul, right? Brother Aaron spoke about that today. Meats and things of that nature. Don't do a certain thing if it's going to offend another brother. Joy, right? I greatly rejoiced in the Lord. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. The soul rejoices, right? It's a beautiful thing. Grief. All of this that we're talking about, guess what? It has to do with emotion, right? And David was greatly distressed. He was grieved. So we grieve in our soul. We grieve in our soul. That's an emotion. Is that an emotion or not? And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Emotions. Grief is an emotion. And it all has to do with the soul. Know yourselves. Know your soul. Know whether or not you are walking in your soul or you're walking in the spirit. How do you know if you're soulish or spiritual? How do you know? How can you tell? Lesson is yours. If you are here tonight and you are not a Christian, according to the Bible, as Jesus said after he was baptized of John in the River Jordan, and was led by the Spirit straight to the enemy's territory. as the enemy came to the garden and terrorized, Jesus went to the enemy and terrorized him. And every time he questioned Jesus about doing a miracle, guess what Jesus said? It is written. That which you belong to, is it written? If it's written, can you prove it? That's the question. Being able to prove what you belong to. If you stand in need of prayer, we will pray for you.